Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. I've got to say, I feel like a pastor tonight. Do I look the part, though? Do I look the part? Fantastic. That's good. Welcome. Welcome to everyone. Welcome to everyone. Before we start off, actually, tonight, I just want to give a background of who Moja is. Who am I? That's the question that I want to ask. And actually tell you the answer. Is that okay? So you don't have to figure that out. Is that okay? You don't have to figure me out. I'm going to tell you all about myself. So I am Moja, as you know, and I come from South Africa. Let's laugh, please. Yes, no, my name is Moja. I'm all the way from Potchefstroom. I was born there. I lived my whole life there. And I recently moved to Franschhoek. But that's not the point, actually, that I want to bring across this evening. What I actually want to share is actually how I got to know the Lord Jesus Christ and what actually made that impact of me going to church and say, you know what, I actually want to follow this Jesus. I want to love this Jesus, and I want to give my whole life to this Jesus, and I want to focus on the cross of Christ. Okay, so 26th of May 2006, just like any other guy, I went to church. And I went to church because there was a specific person I was looking for. At the church, there was a young lady that I was very attracted to back then. So I went to church. But when I got to church, I actually didn't see that lady because I started seeing Christ. So what happened was, I'm on the 26th of May, 2006. We were in worship. We were in deep worship. But me being Moja, I was just standing on the side looking at all the funky Christians, all the charismatics in the house. Is there any charismatics here? Fantastic. So I'm there, and I'm just standing by the corner, you know, looking all cool. And listen, I wasn't this round. Back then, I was like muscular, but now I look like the Oros man, but it's okay. But in worship, I can remember, like, we had a CD player, a small CD player, not a good-looking sound system like this one. And Pastor Anton was still there. And we tried playing One Way that evening. One Way didn't want to work. We tried playing Take It All. It didn't work. We went to Salvation Is Here. You guys still remember? You guys know that song? Didn't work out. Then I saw Pastor Anton walking there. And as he was walking, he went to the CD player and he put on another CD by Hillsong United. And Awesome God was playing. And I'm standing there. And everybody's hands is like, oh, God is an awesome God, you guys. And I'm like, nah, this is not for me. This is not for me. I'm the cool guy, yeah? I'm going to look all cool, standing there by the wall. Everybody's singing, our God is an awesome God. And I'm like, you know what, let me just try this. But, you know, because everybody's looking, you first start off with a side one. Because everybody, you know, in worship, people are like, and I was just there like, okay, let me feel this first. I just want to feel this. Okay. Oh, God, he's an awesome God, he reigns. My hand started going up, and I'm like, hand go down. But hand wants to go up. Hand wants to go up, and I'm worship, and I'm like singing now. I'm singing, our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above. With wisdom, power, and love, our God is an awesome God. And I'm like now in worship. And all of a sudden, I'm on my knees. And I'm weeping. And I'm like, what is going on with me? This is not cool. This is not Moja that I know. This is not supposed to be me right now. I'm supposed to be the cool guy. But the cool guy wasn't working out that evening. And I'm like, okay. Then Pastor Anton stands up. He's like, okay. The Lord is speaking to some of you here tonight, and he's knocking on your heart, and he wants you to come back home to him. He wants your heart this evening. He wants your heart. And if you want to give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to raise your hand where you're standing. And I'm there on my knees, crying, stand up. I'm like, here I am. Here I am, Lord. And he's like, come to the front. I'm like, come on, dude, you just said raise my hand. I'm like, okay, let's go to the front. Get to the front, we start praying. Receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And from there onwards, I can truly say that my life began to change. I wasn't the person that I thought I actually was, because I identified myself by the ways of the world. Instead of actually focusing on what Jesus says about me, I was more concerned about what Pastor T would actually say about me. Instead of being more concerned about what God actually says about me, what is actually written in the Word about me. But I was more focused. It's like, you know what? We are more focused on the external. And God is like, I'm after your heart. And that evening, I was like, okay, God, you can have it all. You can have my heart. And I gave my heart to the Lord. But there were times where I was like, okay, God, I've given you my heart. What now? What now, Jesus? It feels like sometimes I'm on fire for you, God, but sometimes it feels like I'm so lukewarm. What is actually happening in my walk with you, Jesus? Sometimes on a Sunday, I'm so passionate about you, Jesus. But Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I'm a moth. God, what is actually going on? God, I just don't want to live my life for you on a Sunday and on a Friday, because we had our youth groups on a Friday. I don't want to live my life for you only on a Friday and on a Sunday. Lord, I want to be a Christian 24/7. I want to be a follower of Christ 24/7. I was like, okay, God, stuff has to change in my life. It's like, okay, yes, stuff needs to change. Moji, you have to cut this and this and this and this. It's like, okay, because you said it, God, you know, I'll do it. Because I wanted that intimacy with God. I wanted that intimacy with God. I was like, God, you know what? I'm not going to let you go until, you know what, this, me and you, is actually fixed. God, I want to feel you so close to me. It's like you standing right here next to me and you breathing in my face. And I'm like, that's what I want. I want to be close with God. And I can tell you, God has never failed me. And it's like every time I open this word, I get more passionate about Jesus. I get more passionate about Jesus. In high school, grade 11 and 12, man, they knew me as Jesus at school. I was like, okay, cool. Once I got this, the revelation of who God is and who I am in God, I was like, okay, now I cannot keep this to myself. I have to share this. I have to share this. They call me pastor at school. And I remember once the first sermon I did was Proverbs 3 verse 5, which says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge the Lord. And I remember I was there by the assembly, standing there, and everybody's looking at me. And that day, God gave me boldness to stand in front of people and speak about it. Guys, yes, my heart's desire is just to represent God well. It's just to please God with my life. Amen. Is jelle wakker? Lekker so, man. Amen. So, Pastor Tians a couple of weeks ago asked me, Moja, sup champ? And I'm like, I'm like, oh, hey, Pastor T. It's like, Moja, on the weekend of the 27th, where are you going to be? And I'm like, I'm going to be in Hermanus. It's like, okay, because I actually wanted you to minister that evening. And I'm like, I'm going to be in Hermanus the whole day. And he says to me, the whole day? I'm like, I'll check with Hakim first. Then I go, like, dude. He's like, no, man, we'll be back on time. I'm like, dude, no, man. Don't do that to me. Don't do that to me. Then I come and meet Pastor T. And so I'm like, Pastor T, you know, come with confidence and everything. I'm like, Pastor T, sorted. I'm cool. We can do this. Then I was like, okay, Lord, what did I get myself into? What did I get myself into? But you know what I love about God is that, you know, it's never about me. It's always about Him. It's always about Him. And so last week we were at the prison ministry and I was sharing with the guys. I was like, guys, you know, sometimes in our walk with Christ, as I mentioned before, we get so lukewarm. It's like when we first met Jesus, we were so excited about Him. We are so in love with Jesus. And now, through time, is that you get to be like, you know what? Do I really need to be radical for Christ? Do I really need to be so on fire for God? Do I really need to be sold out for God? Do I really? And then you start to sit back, you're like, yeah, no, you know, I do church on Sundays. I do youth on Thursdays. I think I'm okay. And God is like, okay, my man, listen. That's not what I want. I don't want you lukewarm. It's either you're going to be on fire for me or it's either you're going to be cold. You cannot be undecided. Your heart cannot be undecided. You have to choose today. Hey, listen, you cannot be here. It's either you are cold or you are hot and you are burning for the Lord. And I said to the guys at the prison meeting, I'm like, guys, I also fell into that trap of saying, you know what, sometimes I'm lukewarm, sometimes I'm on fire for God. Why? And I was like, you know what, guys, it's because, you know what, comfort still plays a big role in my life. I still want that comfort to feel, you know, that, ah, man, I've got control over this. And God's like, Moja, you know what, let all control go. Just come to me. Just come to me. And that's my heart's desire, that we will move away from our comfort zones tonight and start pursuing a life after God, living a life with urgency in our spirits, saying, you know what, whatever, wherever, and whenever, I'm ready for Jesus. I'm ready for Jesus. I'm going to live my life focused on Jesus. Everything about me is going to be about Jesus. Church, are we awake? Is it up there? Yes. Thank you, Waka. It's always got my back. The topic of the message I want to bring tonight is, are you awake? Am I awake? When the Lord Jesus, and the question that I want to ask is this, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, will he be able to recognize you? Will Jesus be able to recognize you? Will he find you waiting for him? Will he know you? When Jesus comes again, will he be like, this is Tians and I know him. That's Tracy and I know him. That's Z at the back on his cell phone there and I know him. Will he be able to say to you, well done, good and faithful servant? Love you, Z. But that's my question, church. Because, you know what, looking at our lives, looking at your life right now, do you think you are ready to actually meet with Jesus? Let's just pause there for a second and think about it. Do you actually think that you are ready to meet the Lord Jesus Christ? If Jesus came today, will he find you ready? Will he find me ready? Because sometimes in my life, I'm like, you know what, there's still some compromise. Have I given it all to Jesus? Church, will Jesus find us ready? You see, church, here's the thing about Jesus. Jesus is coming for a pure bride. He's not coming for a Dalmatian. He's not coming for a spotted bride. He's coming for a pure bride, not a Dalmatian, church. And my heart's desire is that, you know what, tonight we will leave here ready and say, you know what, yes, I'm ready to meet with Jesus. I'm excited about Jesus. I'm living my life for Jesus. My heart is like pumping for Jesus. Are we ready? Just think about it. Just think about it. Are we ready to meet with Jesus? Matthew 25, verse 25. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins, who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil. But the wise took oil in their with their lamps. This is a story about 10 virgins in Matthew 25. It speaks about there's 10 virgins and they're about to meet the bridegroom. But on the way to actually meet the bridegroom, some of them have got lamps. And they've got extra oil. And some of them also have lamps, but they don't have extra oil. So on the way there, the oil begins to run out. The oil begins to run out. And then there's nothing left. And then there's a call that the bridegroom is actually coming. And the other 5, they're like, where can we get more oil now? Meaning that they're actually not ready to meet who is the one that is actually coming. And the other five were like, we ready. We got this. He's going to walk in now, and we've got our lamps burning. You remember that song from Children's Church? Give me oil for my lamp, keep me burning. Give me oil for my lamp, I pray. Give me oil for my lamp, keep me burning. Keep me burning till the bright of day. But I've changed the version now. Keep me burning until the Savior comes. I don't just want to burn until tomorrow morning. I don't want to burn until next week. I want to burn until I see Jesus. Church, where do we fall in this category? Are we part of the foolish? Are we part of the wise? Where are we? Looking at your life right now, where are you? Where am I? You know, we can all say, ooh, yes, we are the wise because we came to church this evening. But church, one thing about our Lord Jesus Christ is that, you know what, nobody can fool him. Nobody can fool him. You can fool people around you, but you can never fool God. And God knows what's actually going on in your heart. Psalm 139 says this. You know my inward parts. You know everything about me. God knows if you're on fire for him. God knows if you're lukewarm about him. And the scariest thing about us is that, you know, some of us realize that we are lukewarm. Then we run to Jesus, then we get on fire. We become so sold out for him. But some of us recognize that we are lukewarm and we still stay lukewarm. And we're not willing to change. We're not willing to change. And I've realized that we live in a world that says, you know what, we still got time. We'll do this tomorrow. Tomorrow is still another day. Why are you rushing? Just relax. In James, I don't have it on the slides there. In James, the Lord says, don't say today or tomorrow you will do this. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't even know if tomorrow is going to happen. But you should rather say, if the Lord permits, I will do this. God is living in this moment. But we're missing the moment. And I bet one day we're all going to wake up and be like, what happened? What happened to the last 20 years of my life? Where was I? I was never in the moment because I was focused on what's going to happen in the next coming years. I was never living for Jesus in that moment. I kept on saying, you know, there is time. There is time. And I actually moved away from the moment where God wanted me to be. And I just said, you know what? Yes. My Afrikaans is not that good. And the guy that wrote Amazing Grace had it right. He said, we've no less days to seek God's face. I love what JJ was speaking about the previous week. He said, church, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Question is the church ready for him? Is the church ready for him? Amen. We're still awake. This is where it starts. Let's read from John 11, verse 1. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, the sister sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, him you love is sick. Basically giving Jesus, sending a message to Jesus, saying, Jesus, you know what? That guy you call Lazarus, he's sick. He's in need of your attention. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of Man may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, "Let us go to Judea." On hearing this, Jesus decided to stay 2 more days. When you hear that somebody is sick, you want to get inside your car and go check on the person. You don't want to wait a couple of days because you don't know what's going to happen to that guy or that person that is sick and is lying there. When you hear somebody is sick, you're like, okay, what's the plan of action? You don't wait 2 more days. But let's see what the story says. We're going to pick up from verse 11. These things he said after that, he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up." Then his disciples said, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well." However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought he was speaking about taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him." I love what Jesus says. He says, Lazarus is asleep, but I'm going to go and I'm going to wake him up. And I believe God wants to do an awakening in our hearts tonight. God wants to wake us up. God wants to wake us up from where we are today or tonight. You might be sleeping in your walk with God. And God is saying, it's time to wake up. It's time to rise up. God wants to awaken a generation that is not ashamed. God wants to awaken a generation that's going to seek his face and do his will and follow after him and put the cross of Christ in front of him. It's like, this is what we want. This is what we desire. Take the world, but give me Jesus. That's what God is looking for, an awakening to take place in our hearts. Church, are we willing today? Are we willing tonight to say, God, awaken my heart. Awaken my heart to fear your name once again. God, awaken that fire within me. Let me burn once again for you. Carrying on from verse 16. Then Thomas, who is called the twin, said to his followers, "Let us go that we may die with him." Just love that. These guys have been following Jesus. They know who Jesus is. They know what Jesus is about. And they are not ashamed to actually walk with this Jesus. And they're actually ready to also die with him. And if you asked me this question 4 years ago, I was so passionate about Jesus that I was everywhere. Like, my friends would ask me this question, "Moja, are you ready to die for Jesus?" And I would always say, "Yes, yes, yes, I'm ready to die for Jesus. Let persecution come. I'm ready to die for Jesus." But my heart was actually never ready. My heart was never ready to actually die for Jesus. Church, there's people that's been crucified for their faith. People that are not ashamed of Jesus because they understand the power that's in the gospel. They understand the power that's in the gospel. Let's carry on reading. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you have been here, my brother would have not died. But even now, I know whatever you ask God, God will give it to you." Jesus arrives at the scene after 4 days. And everybody has given up. Everybody has given up because Lazarus is now dead. Lazarus is now dead and he's been in the tomb. And Jesus and Mary comes to him. It's like, "If only you were here, Jesus, my brother would have not been dead. But I know even now that even if you ask God something, God will still do it." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection," and Jesus is the resurrection tonight, and he wants to resurrect life tonight. Church, I want to see who needs resurrection tonight. Who wants to be awakened tonight by Jesus? Who wants to be awakened by Jesus tonight? Let's get excited about Jesus, church. Man. You know, I'm feeling, I get so passionate when I talk about Jesus. Because I love him so much, church. I love him so much. And church, I also need that the resurrection power of Christ living in me. Jesus came for us, and he gave it all on that cross. Shouldn't we do the same? Saying, God, you know, here's my life. I'm going to give it to you. I like what Isaiah did after King Uzziah died. The Lord made a call. Whom shall I send? Isaiah stands up like, Lord, send me. Lord, send me. I'm ready. RFA, ready for anything. I am ready, Lord. Send me. If God wanted to send each and, like, us here somewhere, would we go? Would we go, church? Are we still thinking, oh my word, see when the line's going to play? I don't know any more soapy, sorry. That's the only one that I know. I'm not taking anybody. But church, seriously, we have to get to that place of taking Jesus seriously once again. Because some of us have become so familiar with Jesus that we don't see him as Lord anymore. We see him as a buddy. We see him as a buddy. Hey, buddy, come. You need to perform a miracle for me. But we don't worship him as Lord and as Savior. And Hermanus, who are busy in intercession, and Pastor Andres' wife, I don't know her name, sorry. Lisa. She quotes a scripture from, she said it was from Ezekiel, where it says, these people worship me with their lips, but their hearts are far away from me. And I believe that some of us tonight, church, that we worship God with our lips, but our hearts are so far away from him. Our hearts are like so far away from him, church. Jesus said to verse 25, we're going to continue from there. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. Let's just continue from 33 again, verse 33. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and he said, where have you laid him? Then they said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept, and the Jews said, see how he loved them. And some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also kept this man from dying? Verse 38, then Jesus again, groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone laid against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Church, I'm not reading the whole story, but you can actually read the story for yourselves. It's a beautiful story about what God can actually do in a man's life. Then Jesus said to them, take me to the tomb and roll away the stone. Basically, roll away everything that is actually standing in the way of this man from actually coming out and actually seeing me. And church, I believe that right now in our lives, there's stuff that's standing in our way that we cannot actually see God. And God is saying, move away everything and come to me. Come to me. It's like this. Okay, we're trying to come to Jesus, but this thing is blocking us. And God is like standing on the other side. It's like, move away what is actually not of me. Move away what is actually not of me so that you can actually come to me, that you may have intimacy with me. I have come so that you may have life and life more abundantly. John 10 verse 10. Are we experiencing that life, church? Are we experiencing that life? Because I can tell you, the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And what he has put in front of you is actually stealing from you. And Jesus says to them, roll away the stone, take it away. And he stands there and says, Lazarus, come out. No, he doesn't say that. He says, Lazarus! Come out! says, Lazarus, come out. Lazarus, you're in a tomb and you're not supposed to be there. And he says to some of us, listen, you're in depression and you're not supposed to be there. You're in financial distress, you're not supposed to be there. Come to me so that you may have life. Just come to me. And church, that's what I believe that the Lord is saying to us. Move away from everything that is not of me so that you may be resurrected, so that you may be awake. Are we awake, church? Are we awake, church? Church, I'm trusting God that you know tonight we'll be awake so that we may live for Jesus Christ. You know, there's so much joy in living for Jesus. And I pray that God will open up our eyes so that we may see him. The Bible says this, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Have we tasted? We cannot taste if we are this far from God. We need to get close to Jesus. He said, if you draw close to me, I will draw nearer to you. Church, let us take the first step tonight and let us be obedient to what God wants to do and what God is actually saying. Come to me so that I may awaken you. Some of us, our fire has actually died down and God wants to reignite that fire. Church, can we all stand, please? Let's just close our eyes for a second. And I want you to ask yourself this question. Am I awake? Am I living for Jesus? Am I ready to meet with Jesus? Just ask yourself those questions, like, if Jesus comes tonight, will he be able to recognize me? If he was to walk in right now, will he be able to recognize you? Father, tonight, Lord, we surrender our hearts to you, Jesus. Father, tonight, we want to say that you are Lord and you are not our body. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, God, I pray, God, that you will bring back the fear of the Lord, Lord Jesus. And I pray, God, that you will bring an awakening tonight, Lord Jesus. Father, I pray that, God, that we will move away, Lord God, from what we think is good for us, Lord God, and come to what is actually necessary for us, Lord Jesus, which is you, God. And I pray that tonight you will touch our hearts, God. And if you feel that, you know, tonight the Lord was just speaking into your heart, and you feel like, you know, if the Lord was to come tonight, he wouldn't be able to recognize you. Or that you feel that your fire has actually went down. Just want to encourage you to just come to the front so that we may pray with you. If you feel tonight that, you know, you just want your fire reignited, just want to invite you to come to the front. Lord Jesus. Lord, thank you, God, that you are here this evening, God, and that you see these two precious children of yours, Lord God, standing here, Lord God, wanting to be reignited by you, Father. Lord Jesus, I pray, God, that you will reignite that fire right now, God. that they may live, Lord God, and move and have their being in you, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God, thank you, Heavenly Father, Lord God, that the fire, Lord God, of the Lord will just burn within their hearts right now, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father, Lord God, that everything that is not of you in their lives, Lord God, will be moved away, Lord God. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, that from this evening, Lord God, they will pursue, Lord God, a life after you, Father. In the name of Jesus, Lord. Father, we just thank you for the service, God. Thank you for who you are, Lord Jesus. And I thank you, God, that you will continue to work in our hearts, God. In the mighty and powerful name of Jesus Christ, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, that, Lord God, that you will continue to speak to us as we go home right now, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Thank you, church.